Turn to the book of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. Very eventful portion of God's Word. A record of happenings in the lives of some dear saints of God and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In this chapter, we see the natural course of life. We find sickness, death, and the grave. What is recorded in verses 1 through 44 is very wide-ranging. There's sadness, there's heartache, there's mourning, but there's also comfort, euphoria, assurance, and peace. There's a sense of hopelessness in the chapter, but we see also that hope is restored to the tired and weary soul, and that there is victory. So the flow of John chapter 11 moves through sickness, through death, through sorrow, the grave, brings us to a miraculous resurrection, life, and liberty. In the account of John chapter 11, we have unveiled before us the person of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, the sympathy, the empathy, and the tenderness of Jesus Christ, and also the power of Jesus Christ. The chapter, of course, is filled with much instruction, much encouragement for you and I. We'd like to read verses 17 through verse 32. Then when Jesus came, notice those two words, Jesus came, he found that he, that would be Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, notice those two words, Jesus came, and even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly, and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but he was in the place where Martha met him. So he was just outside of Bethany. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So in these words, we have the arrival of Jesus on the outskirts of Bethany. More importantly, we have the arrival of Jesus upon a scene of great anguish, upon a scene of great hurt and sorrow. And we find Martha and we find Mary before him. And they both receive from him what they so desperately needed. Again, we want to center the main thought of the message around two statements. Jesus came, verse 17, and verse 22, even now. The even now is followed by thou and thee, God. Our subject this morning is Jesus in our even now. Jesus in our even now. First of all, notice the situation that God's people found themselves in at this time. The account opens in verse 1, now a certain man was sick. A certain man was ill. He was ailing. We're told that his name was Lazarus. We're also told that he lived in the small village of Bethany. And from verse 18, we gather that Bethany was about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Very short distance. We also learn from the opening verses of John 11 that Lazarus was the brother of Martha and Mary. This is a family that was identified with Jesus Christ. This was a family that possessed a reverence for Jesus Christ. It was a family that had enjoyed a closeness to Jesus Christ. Again, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus. This was a very real sickness. It was a very serious sickness. We're told in verse 2, Lazarus was sick. Martha and Mary said in verse 3, he is sick. And in verse 4, Jesus referred to it as this sickness. And again in verse 6, we read, he was sick. So 5 times in the first 6 verses, we are told that Lazarus was sick. He had been healthy, and then unexpectedly, Lazarus becomes ill. No doubt this sickness was a trial. It was a difficulty. It was a hardship. It was an interruption to the everyday life of Lazarus. During the sickness, no doubt Lazarus suffered physically, perhaps mentally, perhaps emotionally. But no doubt this was also a time of trial and difficulty and interruption in the lives of Martha and Mary as well. And they too, they experienced a sorrow and a heartache and a burden in seeing their brother so sick. It was during this time of sickness that the sisters Martha and Mary sent word unto Christ concerning the sickness of the brother. They did this because they knew, and they had personally experienced, that Jesus was their tender, caring, affectionate, and able friend. So they sent word to Christ. You'll notice the word they sent to Christ. They did not ask him to come to Bethany. They did not ask him to heal their brother, though that is obviously what they were hoping and even expecting that he would do. But in their message to Christ in verse 3, they appealed to and they found great assurance and comfort in the love of Christ. The message was simply this: He whom thou lovest is sick. That was their message to Christ. He whom thou lovest is sick. And in that, they serve as an example to us. Tell Jesus. Tell Jesus. We read in verse 6 that after Jesus received word that Lazarus was sick, that he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. During that time, Martha and Mary, no doubt with heavy, heavy hearts and great burden of soul, ministered to their brother and more than likely witnessed as he took his last breath. We read in verse 14 that Jesus told the disciples, Lazarus is dead. There was a funeral. Also a time of trouble and difficulty and heartache and grief. And from verse 17, we learn that it has been 4 days since the burial of Lazarus. The grief over death does not end at the funeral. We all know that. In fact, the greatest grief usually comes after. Following the funeral, verse 19, there was a gathering of friends and acquaintances at the house of Martha and Mary. They were there to comfort Martha and Mary. So looking at that house, you would see a scene of overwhelming sorrow and grief, heaviness and hurt. So the situation is this: Martha and Mary have witnessed and experienced their brother Lazarus suffering with a sickness. They've witnessed him dying from that sickness. And then, of course, the burial of their brother. Our text picks up, they've left the cemetery. They are feeling the tremendous weight of having lost their brother through death. But in our text, we see both Martha and Mary before Jesus. In verses 21 through 27, we see Martha in the presence of Christ. And in verse 32, we see Mary before Christ. And those verses allow us to look in and to listen as Martha and Mary are in communion with Christ. And by looking in and listening, we get a better idea of their situation. We get a better idea of what they are feeling. Listening in, we hear them both say verbatim, verse 21 and also verse 32, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. There's a very emotional tone in those words. There's much distress in those words. Hear them say, my brother, my brother. In those words, you can hear and feel the love for their brother. In those words, my brother, you can hear and feel their tremendous burden and the anguish that they were feeling. In their words to Christ, three words stand out. My brother died. My brother died. In those words are suffering. In those words are sorrow. There's heartache. And there's heartbreak. In fact, we're told in verse 33 that as Mary was speaking those words, she was weeping. This was a time of deep emotional stirring and distress. And all of us that have experienced death, we can identify. In verse 32, Martha says something that further reveals the situation that Martha and Mary were in. And again, we see those words, even now. Even now. Those two words reveal the situation. Those two words reveal how Martha perceived the situation. You hear those words as they fall from the lips of Martha. Even now. Those two words express something quite extreme. Even now. Those two words express something drastic. Something very serious. Something very desperate and dire. Martha and Mary were in an even now situation. Even now. And that brings us to our second point. It was in this situation, even now, that Jesus came. Jesus came into their even now situation. In verse 19, we see a house in which death has entered. And Martha and Mary are in their house 4 days after Lazarus was buried. Their minds are racing. And they are wondering, how are we going to go on? What are we going to do? And they're surrounded by friends and acquaintances who are doing their best to comfort them. Looking at that house, you see a scene of overwhelming loss, a scene of sorrow, a scene of grief and heaviness, and no doubt, hurt. It was in that house, 4 days after the burial of Lazarus, that we read verse 17. Jesus came. As you read on in the text, you see that Jesus had arrived at the outskirts of Bethany. We see that from verse 30. So Jesus was nearby. Jesus came. Those are wonderful words. Those are glorious words. Jesus came. Those are difference-making words. Those are words that change everything. Jesus came. He came into this even now situation. But I want you to notice how He came. He came as the one who loved them. He came as their friend. We read in verse 5, Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And this is not ordinary, commonplace, comprehensible love. But this is a love that is unique. This is a love that is unprecedented. It is a love like Himself. A love that is eternal, without beginning or end. A love that is infinite, immeasurable, invincible. And it's an unconditional love. Again, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And Jesus came. Oh, how wonderful. He loved them. And He came. We read in verse 11 that Jesus had told the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." Jesus loved them. Jesus referred to Lazarus as His friend. So Martha and Mary are in an even now situation, a very desperate situation. And Jesus came. And He came as their loving friend. What a difference that makes. Jesus came into this even now situation as the all-sufficient one. He came and He is there as the one who possessed everything they needed. Jesus Christ had everything that Martha needed, everything that Mary needed. Jesus came and He is there. He is there as the way to God. He is there as the door into the blessings of God. He is there as the bread and water of life. Martha and Mary are in great need and Jesus came. Jesus came in His infinity. He came in His vastness. He came in His immensity. He came in His fullness. Jesus came. He came as a hiding place from the wind. He came as a covert from the tempest. He came as rivers of water in a dry place. He came as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Jesus came. And He came as the all-sufficient one. He came as the one who had brought more comfort, more cheer and hope than any other. He came. He came as the one who had altered and reshaped the course of the lives of multitudes and had brought everlasting change in the lives of many. So Martha and Mary were in an even now time of great sadness and grieving, a time of hurt, a time of emptiness, a time of loneliness. And Jesus came. How did He come? He came as their enough. He was everything they needed. Also, Jesus came into this even now situation as the able one. May I say this is, whenever Jesus comes, this is how He comes. He came as the able one. The situation was desperate. The situation was dire. But there's Jesus, the one who had given sight to blind eyes. The one who had given hearing to deaf ears and strength to crippled legs and deliverance to the demon-possessed and even life to the dead. Jesus came into this even now time in the lives of Martha and Mary. And He came as the one who was able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. He came as the one who can Aren't you glad when Jesus comes into your situations as the one who can? He came as the able one. And our even now, we all have even now situations. And our even now time may be a time of darkness. But He's able to bring light. Our even now time may be a time of great need, but He's able to provide. Our even now may be a time of agonizing thirst, but He's able to bring refreshment. Our even now may be a time of brokenness, but He's able to mend. Our even now time may be a time of hurt, but He's able to heal. Our even now time may be a time of weakness and weariness, but He's able to give strength and rest. Our even now time may be a time of sorrow, but He's able to bring joy. Our even now time may be a time of great fear, but He's able to bring courage. Our even now time may be a time of defeat, but He's able to bring victory. Martha and Mary were in an even now time of great sadness, in a time of grieving, a time of hurt, a time of emptiness and loneliness, and Jesus came as their strength. As their strength. Jesus came into this even now situation as the accessible one. In our text, both Martha and Mary are seen approaching Him. He came, and they were able to approach Him. In verse 20, concerning Martha, we read that she went and met Him. Aren't you glad? Jesus comes into our even now situation, and we can go and meet Him. Martha went and met Him. Verse 32, concerning Mary. When Mary was come where Jesus was. And may I say, after Martha left, Jesus stayed right there because He knew Mary was coming. He sent for her. But the point here is that they both were able to approach Jesus Christ. Concerning Mary, in verse 32, we read that she saw Him. And she fell down at His feet. She saw Him. Aren't you glad that Jesus comes to our place and we're able to see Him? She saw Him. And she fell at His feet. We read also, Martha. We see that Martha and Mary are in this even now time of great sadness. In grief, time of hurt, the time of emptiness, loneliness. And Jesus came as the one whom they could approach with their feelings and their needs. And they both approached Him with their feelings. They both said the same thing. In our even now situations, there is a place of great possibility. There is a place of hope, a place of assurance, a place of peace, a place of strength and joy unspeakable. And that place is Jesus. No matter what your situation is, that is so. Jesus came into this even now situation with soothing words of assurance and peace. Jesus came and hear him as he tenderly speaks to Martha. Verse 23. Jesus speaking. Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall arise again." Verse 25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? Those words were spoken to Martha. They were meant to calm her. They were meant to alleviate the emotional pain that she was feeling. And may I say, those words did more for Martha than all the words that were spoken to her in that house. Martha and Mary were in an even now time of great sadness and grieving. Again, a time of hurt and emptiness, loneliness. A time of uncertainty. There's a degree of uncertainty when a loved one leaves this life. And Jesus came. And he came as the calming one. The one who could calm what they were feeling. Jesus came into this even now situation with an invitation, with an invite. Again, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And I believe people make too much of that statement, but that's not important right now. As Martha and Jesus conversed, it is obvious that Jesus said to Martha, "Go and tell Mary to come. Go and tell Mary to come to me." Notice verse 28. "And when she had so said, she went her way." Oh, and she went home a different way than when she went out. "And she called Mary, her sister, secretly." That is, she called her over to a portion of the house where there weren't so many people. "And she whispered in her ear, 'The Master is come and calleth for thee.'" So it's obvious, as Martha and Jesus conversed, that Jesus said, "Go and tell Mary to come." Martha arrives at the house. She has a peace about her. She's at peace. And she approaches Mary. "Mary, the Master is come. And he wants to see you." This was a call of love. It's as if Martha said to Mary, "Mary, Jesus is come. And Mary, he's interested in you. And he wants to see you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to do for you." That's always so. "Mary, Jesus has come and he wants to share with you his grace. He wants to share with you his mercy and his love and his goodness. Again, Mary was in an even now situation, a time of great sadness, a time of grieving, emptiness, loneliness, and uncertainty. And Jesus came, and He came with this invitation. It was personal. Mary, come. Mary, come. Jesus comes into our situations, and He invites us to Himself. We see also that Jesus came into this even now situation as the compassionate, sympathetic, empathetic one. There is Mary. She's weeping at the feet of Jesus. It says, and the Jews also were weeping. We're told that when they saw Mary get up, they assumed that she was going back to the cemetery to weep there. And they followed her, hoping, of course, to comfort her. So there's Mary, she's weeping. The friends and acquaintances are weeping. And we read in verse 33 that Jesus groaned in the Spirit. That emphasizes an inward sorrow. It says He was troubled. It is, He was bothered. And we read in verse 35, Jesus wept. And in verse 38, Jesus therefore again, groaning in Himself. This is a picture of Jesus as the compassionate one. Now, compassion is a concern. He's concerned for His people. He's concerned what they were feeling, what they were going through. It's also a picture of Jesus as the sympathetic one. Sympathy is the ability to feel pity and sorrow. And Jesus felt pity for them. He felt sorrow for them. Why? Because He loved Martha and Mary. It's also a picture of Jesus as the empathetic one. Empathy is the ability to actually put yourself in the place of that individual. It goes beyond feeling a sympathy and pity. It is actually putting yourself in that place. Personally feeling their pain, their sorrow. And Jesus came. And He came as the one who could personally feel their pain, their sorrow, and their suffering. It's a mystery, but it's so. Jesus Christ can personally feel our pain and our sorrow and our suffering. With man, it's almost like you have to explain why you're feeling this way. With Jesus, all you have to do is express your feeling. And He's able to enter into our sorrow and our suffering like no one else can. Martha and Mary, so there they are in an even now situation. A time of great sorrow. A time of grieving. A time of hurt and emptiness and uncertainty. And Jesus came as the one who was concerned for them. As the one who felt for them. As the one who could put Himself in their place. And oh, how wonderful it is when Jesus comes into our even now, the one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and the one He comes as the one who cares. We sing that song, Does Jesus Care? It's a wonderful song. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for myrrh or song? And the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? That was Martha and Mary's situation. Does Jesus care when my way is dark, the nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades and the deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When from my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to Him? Does He see? Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. And He comes as the caring one. He comes as the caring one. So how wonderful it is when Jesus comes into our even now situations. He comes into our lives for us. He comes for us. And that's what we see here. Again, whatever your situation is today, wherever you might find yourself today, there's this one named Jesus. And He has everything you need. Everything. Someone might say, oh, Brother Dan, you don't understand my situation. No, you don't understand who Jesus is. He has everything that you need. However great that need is, you say, even now, even now, even now, whatever that even now comprehends, whatever is involved in that, Jesus makes all the difference. And oh, how glorious it is when we hear Jesus came and we're able to see Him and we're able to fall at His feet and just say what we're feeling. That's what they did. Both Martha and Mary just expressed what they were feeling. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus came, even now. What wonderful, wonderful truth that that is. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.
Number 163.